All right, church family, it has been an interesting week this week for sure. I am very much of an extrovert. I'm very much of a people person. I love talking to people and just having conversations. We're a hugging church. We like to give a high five or a hug. And so this last week and a half has been quite interesting, to say the least. But just because we haven't had the social interaction, all the introverts out there, they're loving this. This is like the moment you've been living for or looking forward to. But we're excited to be here today and worship online. And if this is your first time watching a service or being a part of a service at Calvary Raleigh, welcome and welcome to worship. And looks a little bit different today than probably what we were expecting. Probably many of you are in your pajamas this morning, and that's okay. In fact, my wife's like, I'm not taking a picture of all of us in our pajamas. So I hope you're watching at home, kids. But stay awake for the next few minutes. But we're excited to gather for worship. And in light of all that's been happening, all of the crazy. In Proverbs 17:22, it says, a joyful heart is a good medicine. And Friday night, I put out to our Facebook family a request. If you had any great quarantine memes that you could post, I want to play some of those this morning. So I want to show my top 10 quarantine memes this morning that some of you sent. Some of them were hilarious. Some of them were probably not church appropriate. But all in all, it brought a good laugh, and hopefully it'll bring you a laugh this morning. So here's my top 10. First of all, the hamster, someone who brought the kid, who brought the hamster home from their classroom just for the weekend. Their parents are not happy right now. Now the homeschool companies, they're sitting back counting the dough this morning as everybody is thinking about homeschool. And I know in our household, we're knowing that's not our calling this morning after a week of this. The hair and nails after the quarantine, I've seen a number of posts about this. Everybody's trying to figure out how they're going to keep their hair colored, and we'll know what color everybody's hair really is here in a couple weeks. What about how long is this going to last? My husband's still trying to get in the house. Seen other ones out there about if our kids are locked outside, we're having a fire drill. What about the 30 rolls of toilet paper? And that means you have to tie 3 of them to the church. That tithing is not canceled this week. So go ahead, go online, and you can do that right now. The worship team will not be singing Breathe On Me. Another one I saw said, we're not singing the song He Touched Me this morning. It's more of I've Come to the Garden Alone. The 2020 Olympics, I was cracking up at that one. This should be interesting this summer, to say the least. The one I posted that I most identified was with the Little Debbie and the Big Deborah. That's kind of where I'm at this morning. I'm in a weight loss competition with a bunch of guys, several of them here from church. And let's just say I'm not wanting to post any numbers this week, but we've been eating. And I hit our private stash last night from the kids, so hopefully they will not find out while I'm here at church. The Gather, for all of you Fixer Upper, Chip and Joanna Gaines fans who have the Gather sign, take it down, Karen, it's illegal. You can't put that picture up for now. And then lastly, at church, we talk about where 2 or 3 are gathered in my name. We're 2 or more, but definitely less than 10 are gathered in my name. We've got less than 10 here in my office this morning. And so hopefully it brought a little joy to you. This morning, the title of the message is called Refocusing Our Priorities. I think, and we're going to look at James chapter 4, beginning in verse 13 in just a moment. And I want us to examine this passage. I believe as we look at the last week and a half, 2 weeks, and that's really where we've seen the greatest impact here in America and in our own personal lives, the impact that it's making on our ability to just go and do the things that we think are important, the things that we hold dear to us. And I don't know about you, but everything I've thought about, I'm kind of thankful for a break. We're going to get tired of the quarantine memes here before long, but it's kind of a nice change from that. But and all of that, we're cruising through life, and really, as Americans, there's little care for what's happening in the rest of the world. And our stock market, have hit highs in the last year, in the last few months, last few weeks, we've never even seen before. In fact, our unemployment is the lowest possibly in history, and America's thriving on every stage, and we really didn't see anything getting in our way, so to speak. And it's, you know, the church is growing, the church is thriving. We saw the rise of the coronavirus and COVID-19. You start seeing that pop up on your news apps, on your phone, and you start seeing things happening around the world. And, you know, we saw it in China, and then we saw it in South Korea and Iran and Italy. And I'll be honest, I mean, there was talk of it coming to the U.S., but it seems so far away. It seems so distant and removed from where we were for the longest time, for probably a couple months. I think it started in December, early part of January. But, you know, we, for the most part, I would say we continued on with life as normal, life as usual, just going through our daily routines. We work out, we go to the gym, we eat, we do, you know, well, some of us don't go to the gym as much as we should, but we do all those things. We go to work, we're, you know, worried about, you know, feeding the kids, getting lunch together, making sure laundry's done, the dog gets to the vet, we get to the appointments and practices and all of those things. We're going through all of the routine, and we just go through life kind of through the motions. And you know, what's so much that people don't care, it's just that the things that were happening around the world didn't really affect us. It did not impact it didn't cramp our style, so to speak, and affect the way we live. But we were so far removed and preoccupied with our own cares of this life. And, you know, most people here were thinking about upcoming spring break. The kids, what are we going to do for spring break? Where are we going to go? Are we going to spend time together? Are we going to take some time off work? You know, trying to get all those details wrapped up. We were thinking about sports teams that were cranking up, and we were enjoying sitting out watching my daughter play lacrosse, and my son and youngest daughter were getting ready to start spring soccer. And I mean, all those things were getting ready, and I wonder if we get refunds on any of those. I'm just kidding. But you know, we were getting ready for all those things that we do, and searching for the perfect prom dress for my senior. And she's talking about upcoming graduation and planning that summer vacation or cruise or trip or whatever it was that we were doing. James warns us about that very type of thinking and the way of living. He says, a life that's preordered by our own thoughts, our own desires, and ultimately, he calls us out on our mess. He says, you're living life with arrogance, with pride. And he says, I don't know if we could find another sin in God's word that God hates more than pride. And James is kind of calling us on the carpet, so to speak. And so I want us to look at James chapter 4, beginning in verse 13. He says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. He says, we're making those plans. We're telling God, this is what I'm doing. You know, kind of like, hello, here's the public service announcement. I'm going to be doing this, or I'm taking this job, or I'm taking this position. He says, go and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. And he says, we're considering all of these things that we're doing, but yet we're not really taking into consideration what God's purpose and plan is for our lives. He says, for you are a mist, verse 14, that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we'll live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. He says, all such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him, it is sin. Before the last couple weeks, didn't this describe us perfectly? And I'm not trying to, you know, belittle any of us. I'm putting myself in this category. We were so content. We had such a handle or kind of the world by the tail, so to speak. And it seemed like everything was going our way. And James is telling us, he says, what we must never say. He says, what we should not be saying. He says, how often do we plan our day, our month, our year, our lives without any thought whatsoever that God has a plan for our lives? How many times do we go through the course of a week and we never stop to consider what it is that God wants for my life, or how He wants me to personally consider Him and talk to Him and commune with Him and ask and consider the plan that He has for us. In fact, so often we go through life and we never consider God's leading or purpose for our life. The Holy Spirit is challenging us. He says this casual arrogance, He's challenging us through the words of James here in this passage. He says we claim our independence from God when things are going well. When we're healthy, wealthy, and we like to think we're all wise, but when we are in that sort of setting, He says we don't think we actually need God. He's there for our get out of hell free card. Folks, this is not Monopoly. This is life, and it's to be lived for the glory of God. He's given us a purpose, and He says we're supposed to live for His glory and to make much of Christ and to make Him known, to make disciples of Jesus Christ. So James is speaking specifically about material things here in verse 13. He says, we become arrogant, mapping out our life with no desire for God's plan or will for our lives. The church today has become so comfortable, and folks, that's all of us. If you know Christ as our Savior, the reality is we have become so content, so satisfied and where we are financially and spiritually that we aren't seeking after God. We're not searching for God. We're not asking His direction, His plans for our lives. And in fact, we seldom even pray unless we need something. God, I really need you to come through. I've had this big test on Friday. Or Lord, I've got this interview. Or I've got to go to the doctor and have this test run. And I need some prayer for that. But the reality is how often do we fail to even consider His plan or purpose for our life? I think, you know, one thing we've learned in the last couple of weeks is we wouldn't survive for long if we found ourselves in dire straits. If we found ourselves in a major time of emergency. We're struggling just to stay home and eat our meals at home. Yesterday we were kind of talking about it, and today marks 1 week we've eaten every single meal at home. I mean, hello. I mean, I'm sitting here going, I feel like we're living on Survivor Island. I mean, and my wife's a good cook, but I'm sitting here thinking we're eating every single meal and we can't take any chances. You know, we have family that are in that older population, and we don't want to catch anything and then possibly share that with them. And we've got young kids, and the reality is I've cooked pork chops and chicken and burgers on the grill in the last week. We're not suffering, folks. We have no idea what real suffering is. I'm not saying that people aren't sick. There are people out there that are sick, and we need to be praying for this. We need to be praying for our medical teams, our medical workers that are out there in the fields that are exposed to this. But by and large, as Americans and the church, we have not been affected by this by a large part, and we're taking it for granted. What if we truly saw God's direction and guidance through this season of social distancing and isolation? What if we spent that time seeking after God? Psalm 119:105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. What if we dug deep into that God's word and began to pray the words of Christ in Matthew 6? It says, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. See, what happens is, what if we started seeking after the heart of God and His purpose and plan, and realizing He's going to take care of the rest. He's going to take care of how we're going to keep a roof over our head, our food in our stomachs, or protecting those who are on the front lines of this pandemic. Folks, the reality is God is saying, trust me, seek me, go after the things of God and search after the things. We should be boasting about tomorrow, because none of us are guaranteed another day. James says this is pure arrogance and pride. What if God is trying to get our attention as Americans, as Christians? You know, what if He's trying to get our attention right now that we've been living a life of pride and arrogance? What if God is saying, I want you to stop everything and I have a plaque over my door that says, "Be still and know that I am God," Psalm 46:10. What if he's trying to get us to slow down and consider God in his purpose and plan for us at this moment? Verse 14 says, "Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes." James compares our life to a vapor that is here for just a brief second and then it's gone. It's like that tea kettle that sits on the stove that's heating up water for tea or for hot chocolate or whatever. And you see the steam rising off the kettle or off the pot that's boiling on the stove. And it rises up for just a second and then where's it go? It disappears. It's Johnny says, our life, what have we accomplished if we get to the end of this life and realize we wasted the time that we were given on things that did not matter in light of eternity? I'll be honest, this last week and a half has been a lot of soul searching of God. What is it that's most important? The relationships that I have in my life and the things that God has blessed me with. It's not about the money, but it's about what I'm doing with the time and the resources and the family that God has blessed me with. And you know, often we say, "I don't have time to read my Bible. I don't have time to pray." Well, folks, we have time now. What are we doing? Are we spending it binging on every Netflix show out there? Are we spending it doing all the, are we focusing on, you know what, my relationship with God really needs to take priority right now? And dig deep into that relationship. Look back to those people that God has placed in your life that you can depend on those relationships and dig deep into those relationships. Maybe it's time to refocus our priorities on what God deems is most important, seeking first the kingdom of God. James says, don't waste your life. He says, don't waste this time, that vapor, on something that is not really going to matter. Paul tells us in Ephesians 5, he says, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. That's exactly where we're living today. Look around the world, all around us. It is not getting better, it's getting much worse. And I'm not being a pessimist, I'm an eternal optimist, because I know how it's all going to turn out. If you know Christ as our Savior, folks, this world is not our home. We are just passing through. And folks, if this virus takes my life, I am confident of where I'm going to spend eternity. And folks, I don't live in fear. I don't live in a total sense of panic about the future, because I know that God has got me completely secure in the palm of his hands. Proverbs 27 verse 1 says, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. In other words, before we're making all these plans, and he's not saying we shouldn't be organized. What he's saying is, don't plan out your life and don't consider the heart of God and his purpose and his plan for our life, because God has that something he's trying to accomplish in and through each of our lives. Psalm 90 verse 12 says, so teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. In other words, let's make the most of every moment, that mist, that vapor. Our life is only a small dot on the timeline of human history, and yet God is saying, make the most of it. In other words, redeem the time that we're living in. What God is saying here is that the way that we've been living is not under submission to me and does not recognize his sovereignty. Instead of making our plans and ordering our own steps, what must we do? What must we do? What is it that we must do as followers of Jesus Christ? In verse 15, it says, instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. What we're saying is, instead of my will, God, I'm going to submit to your will and your purpose for my life. What attitude is James targeting? Our pride. I'll be honest, that's something that all of us struggle with, because we want to feel accomplished. We want to have that confidence. We want to have all of those things. But folks, he's saying apart from God, he says, if we're doing that on our own accord, We're going to fall flat on our face. A prideful, haughty spirit comes before a fall. He says, as a follower of Jesus Christ, we've got to be seeking after God. What must we do? He says, if the Lord wills, we'll do this or do that. Today, so many people, when considering a job, only think about what does it pay? What are the benefits package? What will this job make me wealthy? It's important to pay your bills. It's important to take care of your family. God gives, His Word gives us instruction about that and our responsibility as dads and moms and all those things. But that's not what he's talking about here. Money can buy a lot of things, but happiness and true contentment with God is not on that list. It's that simple. I'll be honest. How much have we sought after the things that this world offers and yet never once considered God's purpose or plan and what He wants for us? Some of you are seniors. You're getting ready to graduate from high school. Some of you are seniors in college. You're getting ready to graduate from college and you're finishing your degree and you're ready for that next step. Can I just say my heart goes out to you? I mean, I know it's a tough time. Many of you are feeling discouraged, but can I say take hope in the fact that God did not wake up this morning and just realize that there's a pandemic. God didn't just wake up and realize, oh, we're in a state of turmoil in the world today. He's very much sovereign. He's very much in control. And you can trust Him with the future plans of your life and the purpose and direction. And no matter where you're at today, you can trust God fully. You may be sitting in a hospital bed struggling with the effects of this pandemic. And yet God has a purpose and a plan. And He can use this. He doesn't cause it, but He can use this for your good and for His glory, if you allow Him to. God has a purpose. And so He says, trust me. And money doesn't give us purpose in life. A heart that seeks after God is not seeking their own plans, but desires to do God's will. James says in verse 16, as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Anything beyond that is arrogant. James calls that evil. That seems pretty strong, but if you look at the words of James and look at the Apostle Paul, many of the writers in the Scripture, they don't mince words because they're saying at the end of the day, if we will get this thing right, God has such an incredible thing He wants to accomplish in your life. And if you'll confess that sin of pride and arrogance to God and start seeking after the heart of God, we can experience that peace that surpasses all understanding. So what should we do? He says, recognize His sovereignty. Recognize that He is in control even when life's circumstances seem out of control. In fact, that's where we are at today. We're not able to control COVID-19. But realizing that God is sovereign and completely in control when the world seems out of control brings comfort and peace in our lives. That's what the world needs right now. It brings stability to the situation. When we've been doing life on our own terms for so long, you realize it's freeing, it's liberating to recognize that God is in control. It's freeing to realize that God has a purpose here, and if we'll search out the promises of God and see what it is that He's trying to accomplish, it's freeing. And if He wasn't caught off guard just because the world is facing a pandemic. Recognize His sovereignty, but secondly, submit to God. It's freeing to know He's in control, but folks, submission to His plan yields peace in His life. There's no greater place to be than in the center of God's perfect plan and will for your life. That's where we discover the peace of God. And He says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. If you're living for God this morning, you know Christ is your Savior. Folks, there is a peace that the world does not understand. In fact, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, can I just say, if you'll give your heart and life to Jesus Christ this morning, He will give you a peace that you've never experienced before. In fact, all of the things that happen in this world today don't make sense apart from knowing God and having that relationship, that intimate fellowship with God. And maybe you're here this morning and you say, Pastor David, I'm struggling because I'm really struggling with this whole pandemic. Know this, that when you call out to God in prayer, He hears and He answers prayer. The greatest prayer you could ever pray this morning is, Lord, save me. Lord, forgive me of my sin. Lord, come into my life and be my Lord and my Savior. What happens is, what you're saying is, I'm taking my hands off of my life and I'm trusting in God's plan and purpose for me. I can't do this on my own. In fact, none of us can. Even the most wealthy person in the world cannot buy a right relationship with God. But folks, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, call on to Him. Cry out to Jesus right now. Ask Him to forgive you of your sins. Because folks, we're all sinners. We've all fallen short of God's glory. What He's saying is, it's time to trust Christ and ask for forgiveness of sin. James says in James chapter 4, he says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. What an awesome promise. As we are seeking out the heart of God, as we're recognizing His sovereignty, as we submit to God, He says, resist the devil, that temptation that comes our way, and he will flee from us. Wow. That's mind-blowing. I mean, that's one of those moments where we recognize God has given us the power to overcome the temptations. And there's so many verses in Scripture that talk about He gives us the ability to overcome those temptations and struggles that Satan places in our life. So God has a perfect plan for each of us. And the sooner we submit to His plan, the sooner our life becomes peaceful and fulfilling. I'm going to wrap it up because I think verse 17 really kind of lays it all out there. He says in verse 17, the application, so whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him, it is sin. Now that we know, you and I are responsible before God. In fact, the Word of God says that one day every one of us will stand before God. We'll give an account for the way that we live this life. And if we really surrender to God and His plans for our life, where would He have me to go? What would He have me to do? That takes our pride and arrogance out of the picture and saying, God, I'm searching for You. I'm searching for direction. I'm searching for wisdom. Proverbs talks a lot. Solomon talks about finding wisdom and seeking after wisdom. And that's something we should all strive after. It's time to say, God, You placed me on this earth for a reason. What do You want me to do? What is it that You want me to accomplish? What is Your plan for my life? And don't just think of sin as just resisting the temptation to sin. But sin is resisting the will of God for our lives. When God has a purpose, it's when we know what God wants us to do, and yet we're saying, talk to the hand. No, God, I'm not going to do that. I know You want me to serve You. I know You want me to live for You. But God, there's still some things I want to accomplish. There's still some things I want to. There's some things that I figure it out, folks. It's pride. It's the root of all of that comes back to pride and our inability to trust God fully with our lives, with His purpose, His plan. So, God, I think I know better what I should be doing in this life. If that doesn't describe the way the church in America at large has been living and really the world, that's where we're at. And I believe that God is allowing this moment of pause to cause us to refocus our priorities. As you consider your future plans for your life, talk to the Lord. It's time to refocus our priorities back on the things of God. What does God want to do in and through your life? What does He want to do in my life? Let's make the most of this life. And when it's over, my prayer is that you'll hear Him say, well done, good and faithful servant. When we stand before God, I don't want to stand there in shame and embarrassment because I wasted my life, that mist of a life, that vapor of a life, on things that really didn't matter in light of eternity. What is your life, He says? It's a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Make sure you refocus your priorities so that this life is one that will count in light of eternity. Church, I want you to know that we love you. Facebook family, we love you. We love each one of you. We're praying for you. But know this morning, there is no peace apart from the relationship that can be found with Jesus Christ. God loves you. And folks, it's not about finding religion. It's about experiencing a life-transforming relationship with God. And folks, you don't have to go pray to a priest. Jesus Christ, the Word of God tells us, is a great high priest, and he offers us a relationship with God the Father. So the Word of God says that if we will confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I invite you this morning, right there, maybe in your living room, on your couch, maybe laying in bed watching this, maybe you're in the car, who knows, you can invite Jesus Christ to come into your life and forgive you of your sin and be your Lord and Savior this morning. If we can encourage you anyway, help you, let us know. You can leave a message in the comments below. You can direct message us or message me on Facebook. We want to encourage you. We want to pray for you. We want to help you during this time. Maybe you're finding yourself very anxious and you're in a situation where you're like, I don't know what tomorrow is going to hold, or I'm worried about the future. And maybe it's financial, maybe it's health-wise, maybe it's the direction of our world today. We want to talk with you. We want to encourage you. We want to help you. We want to pray with you. We're praying for our teachers. Our teachers, your whole world has been turned upside down right now. And Steve, I think of the kids that you minister to every single day in the classroom, and it's hard to do that. We're pastors around our nation. We're struggling because those interactions and the relationships that we normally have, we're not able to have on that same level. Our medical professionals, Lord knows we need you, and we're praying for God's hand of protection around you and your family. Keep your family safe. As we close our prayer in just a moment, let's pray that God will be glorified even through this pandemic, that God will use this moment in our history to draw us as a people, as a church, as a nation, as a world, back to God, back to that close relationship, to the things that are truly most important in this life. If we can help you, please reach out. We want to encourage you during this time. Let's go to Lord in prayer as we close this morning, asking for his blessings on our time together. Father, we love you. God, we know that you are sovereign and you are holy, you are just. Lord, there's nothing that has caught you by surprise or taken you by shock. But God, we know that this world is in a terrible shape right now. Lord, we're hurting. Lord, many lives are being affected by this pandemic. And God, we just ask for healing. God, we ask that you would bring an end to this COVID-19. And God, Lord, that those that are suffering the effects of this right now, God, that you would touch their bodies, whether they're at home or whether they're in the hospital somewhere. God, we pray that you would touch their bodies and, Lord, heal them. Lord, we've seen lots of promising things this past week about potential drugs that they're developing, but God, we know ultimately you are the great physician. You are the healer. And God, we ask that you would watch over and bring healing and restoration. And God, we claim the blood of Jesus Christ over these people who have been affected around the world. And Lord, I was watching the news and the stats coming out of Italy and some of these other places around the world. And God, we just ask that you would protect our nation, our country, protect our leaders, those who are making decisions that affect our freedoms and our health. God, our health professionals, Lord, watch over them this morning. God, keep your hand on them. Keep them well and healthy and safe. Protect their families. And God, we know that Satan is wanting to wage war on the church right now. God, we ask that you protect your church. And we recognize it's not about a building. Lord, we are the church. And God, we ask that churches all across this nation, all across our city and around the world would rise up and be the salt and light in a dark world. Lord, allow others to see Christ in us, the hope of glory. God, the reason that we can still sing, the reason that we have peace, the reason we have hope is because of that relationship with you. God, those that do not know you as Lord and Savior, may this moment be that very moment where they place their faith and trust in you and cry out to you for forgiveness, for healing, for salvation. And God, we're going to be careful to praise you and rejoice for what you're doing in the hearts and lives of each person this morning. Each person that's tuned in online today and that will watch this video over the coming days and weeks, God, we ask that you would just bless them, touch their bodies. And God, may we seek after your purpose and your plan. And Lord, may you be glorified in all that's said and done. And we give you the praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Church family, we love you. We're praying for you. If we can help you in any way, any of you on Facebook that are watching this morning, we want you to know we're praying specifically for you. We want to encourage you. God's got a purpose and a plan. Seek after the heart of God, and let's see God do some amazing things.